First, crime and public safety have been major talking points in Wisconsin's upcoming midterm elections. Republicans are attacking Democrats with ads about crime rates and police funding, while Democrats have pushed back, in some cases pointing toward gun control and bail reform. If you've watched anything that includes commercials lately, you've probably seen many examples of these campaign ads. Election rhetoric about crime can often tap into feelings of fear and spread into wider societal issues involving race and justice. And our next guest says that can make it even more important to be mindful of how the media covers these topics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How important of an issue is crime and public safety in the upcoming election? If it's important to you, tell us why. Or if not, why not? And what do you think of the campaign ads you've seen on this issue? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kathleen Bartson-Culver is the James E. Burgess Chair in Journalism Ethics, Associate Professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism, and Director of the Center for Journalism Ethics. Katie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much, Rob. Great to be here.
This isn't the first election cycle where crime-related messaging has been front and center. Why do you think it's been so prominent here in 2022?
Well, I think it's generally prominent because fear often works. And I think this year we may be more fearful than we've ever been. And I think that's why we're seeing more of it.
More fearful than we've ever been. How so?
We're coming out of a pandemic that I think I can speak for almost everybody, scared us and scared us deeply. So fear is a running undercurrent. We're also facing a lot of divisions. And when we are divided, we tend to fear others. It's a real problem for us right now.
Now, there's a little bit of chicken or egg here. Republicans are mostly running these ads related to crime to attack Democratic opponents. Are they responding, do you think, to real concerns about crime in the public, or are they inflaming them on this issue in a way that Republicans would see as more advantageous to them? I'm guessing it's a little of both. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, part of what makes the chicken and egg issue unsolvable is that the answer is usually both. So we are seeing this as, clearly something that is being pushed by Republican candidates nationally, but right here at home in Wisconsin. But I think they're not responding to nothing. They are responding to folks' concerns about crime. We do have in Wisconsin, coming out of the pandemic, property crimes, things like theft and burglary, those are actually down. But violent crime is up. Wisconsin still enjoys a lower rate of violent crime than we see nationally, which I think is, yet another reason this is a great state to live in. But it's something that people are aware of and concerned about. I also would say, sensational crimes like the horror of the Waukesha Christmas parade do tend to focus people's attention as well.
Big issues related to bail reform came out big time after the murder of George Floyd a couple years ago. We had for a while there, Koch brothers founded conservative groups working with liberal groups on releasing people from prison, on bail reform and things like that. Did you think we might see some convergence, some bipartisan work on these issues?
I sure did, because there is a place at which prison reform and bail reform actually is a meeting of the minds between liberals and conservatives. Conservatives very concerned about the cost of mass incarceration, and liberals concerned about civil rights issues, racial disparities, and those sorts of things. I have to be honest, sometimes I sit and watch TV at night and I watch these political commercials, and I can scarcely believe that 34 years after the infamous Willie Horton ad in 1988, we're getting much of the same content and in some cases worse.
Talking to Kathleen Culver from UW-Madison School of Journalism, looking at crime as a campaign issue, the ads related to crime and public safety. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What are you seeing when you see campaign ads? Do you just mute them and move on? Are you worried about the imaging? Are you voting based in part on your concerns about crime and public safety? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Katie, I know we don't necessarily look to political advertising as, a source of the truth necessarily, but where do you see ads really straying too far from the truth, do you think, misrepresenting what's actually going on in the United States?
Well, Rob, I think that's just such an unfortunate statement. I don't think it's an untrue statement that you're making there. But, you know, it's not just, yes, I run the Center for Journalism Ethics, but it's not just journalists who should be having ethical foundations in their work. All public communicators have obligations to the truth. They have obligations to minimize harm. You know, their obligation is not to do anything at all costs to win. So, you know, I think it's we as citizens are right to question these kinds of ads and ask, what is it that someone is trying to stoke in me? You know, what does it mean that someone is playing to my fears and how might that affect my vote? Sadly, we know from research, one of the principal effects of this kind of fear-based advertising is that it drives voter turnout down. It's less about getting an individual voter to select one candidate over another, but instead they respond to the fear saying, I'm out. I'm backing out completely from this entire thing.
Issues of race come up when we talk about crime and punishment in the United States. How do these campaign ads affect our conversations about race?
Well, I hope that they affect them in a way that we can be open and honest and talk about how much race is featured in these ads, and how little that we have not come far at all since Willie Horton in 1988. You know, this is a time where, coming off of the protests in 2020, the murder of George Floyd, we have an obligation to discuss this, to think about this. What does it mean? Do I fear other people because they are portrayed as, you know, people of another race are portrayed as the criminal element in my state, when that's not really the case?
What do you hope to see from the news media when it comes to coverage of crime in the campaign?
Well, I hope that news media will be there to help supply people with verified information about what crime rates do look like, what the actual cost of enforcement is, things like mass incarceration. And I hope that they'll actually cover what it means to think about these fear-based appeals. You know, I often tell people, whenever you encounter content on social media or political ad or a news story, if it triggers an emotion in you, like fear or a sense of threat, that's when you need to stop and think the most carefully. You know, check that emotion, seek out reliable facts. News media should be part of that. But at a time when local news media are disappearing at an unprecedented rate, and people may live in news deserts, that just gives the fear-based appeals all the more oxygen.
One thing that's fairly new when it comes to political campaigns is, you mentioned social media and things like YouTube advertising. Do you see things working differently there as opposed to, say, you see the ad during the news or the Packers game?
Yeah, it's incredibly more targeted, Rob. So those, you know, algorithms are driving a lot of the content that you encounter on social media in a way they're not driving content that you encounter on your local television station. And I guarantee over the next few days, because I was doing some background research today to prepare for this interview, and I was looking at crime rates in Wisconsin and that sort of thing, I guarantee that my YouTube pre-roll advertising, as I watch things over the coming weeks, will include more of these crime-laden, fear-based appeals, because the algorithm thinks that that's what I'm looking for.
We're talking about the politics of crime and public safety and fear in the upcoming midterm elections. UW-Madison Journalism Ethics Professor Katie Culver stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. You can give us a field report if you watch broadcast TV or streaming TV or YouTube videos. Are you seeing a lot of ads related to crime and safety on whatever you're watching? Do you feel like they are, in fact, targeting you? What do you think of those ads? And do you have thoughts on crime as an issue in this race? Is it going to motivate your vote? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Katie Culver, journalism professor, director of the Center for Journalism Ethics at UW-Madison. She's with us today looking at crime as an election issue in the midterms this year, the role that race and fear can play in ads and media coverage, and what media coverage could look like. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and what you're seeing in whatever you're watching. Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Art is with us in Milwaukee. Art, hi.
Hi. So I'm a semi-retired lawyer. I did actually write a little piece on the whole cash bail thing. So what Mandela is being charged with is supporting a bill shortly after Chris Christie in New Jersey signed the same thing to repeal cash bail and follow the federal system, which Ronald Reagan signed into law. But they put it on TV and pretend as though the repealing cash bail would mean everybody gets out of jail free regardless of danger, which is what the federal system looks at, whether you're a danger to society rather than how much money you've got. So, I've written to the media and said, I think you should cover this story and give it some depth with a little bit of response, but not much.
All right. Thanks for that call. Katie, I've talked to experts on the cash bail system here. And yeah, the point of cash bail was to make sure people show up for their court appointments. It sort of morphed into a public safety measure. It's a complicated issue that gets maybe heavily simplified when you're writing a campaign ad.
I think Art is spot on that this is one of those things where we have had some bipartisan progress on this issue, but is being reduced to something that's just not an accurate perception or not an accurate assessment of the situation. And I'm really delighted to hear that Art participates and contacts news media and says this is worth covering and here are some things that you ought to know about it. You know, we as citizens should be participating in what the news environment looks like and what the information around us is informing us. And I think you know, it's hard for news media because, you know, the average television news reporter, for instance, might cover, you know, a criminal hearing, a legislative bill, an education proposal, all in the same day, and they can't have expertise on all of that. So when a person like Art has expertise, I do encourage you to contact news media and provide that and suggest story ideas worth covering.
Thanks for the call, Art. Martha joins us now in Wisconsin. Martha, hi.
Hi. I just want to say that I'm very discouraged and I'm angry. I'm not fearful. I'm angry more than anything else about the ads. And what it does is I can't believe anything that politicians say. My family and my friends are so discouraged with the political system and with and honestly, with the news media, too, because nowadays you can't tell what's true and what isn't unless you've witnessed it yourself. And even then it gets twisted one way or the other, and it's just very frustrating. So what it does is it makes me not want to vote, but I am going to vote, but I end up voting along party lines, and that's not the person I want to be. But I can't help it because I can't tell what's true and what isn't.
Martha, thanks for that call. And Katie, I think a lot of people share some version of Martha's experience feeling discouraged, disillusioned, and distrustful based on what they see in these ads and maybe in the media in general, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to hear, Martha. But I the word discouraged came out multiple times, but I do applaud you that you are going to go and try to vote. One of the things that I encourage people when they are feeling that sense that, you know, their political efficacy is sapped, they don't know who to believe, I encourage them to do a couple of things. So one is I say, go see for yourself. So I think there is value. You know, tomorrow, our U.S. Senate candidate debate is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So Thursday at 6, watch that. See for yourself. You know, read the news stories that cover it, but see for yourself. The other thing is, I would look at candidates and I often encourage people to ask the question: is there any other way to look at this? So when I think about these ads that are pumping crime and bringing in not even just racial undertones, but racial overtones, I say, think about what is affecting you where you are in Wisconsin. So when I talk to people, I hear a lot of concerns about opioids and fentanyl. And those are things that, you know, are criminalized, but we've come a long way in talking about the need to look at them differently. And so instead of, you know, instead of thinking about them through a law enforcement lens, we think about them through a treatment lens. So ask, you know, go to a candidate website, see what they have to say. You know, this is definitely a scourge in Wisconsin. Does anybody have a plan or a thought that would influence your vote in that regard? But please, I know you're angry, Martha, and other people are fearful, but stay engaged, because that's the only way we're going to have power to fix anything, is if we stay engaged and we vote.
Thanks for calling in, Martha, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Katie Culver from the UW-Madison Journalism School, looking at crime as a political campaign issue. Back to your calls. Mary is with us in Wauwatosa. Mary, hi.
Hi. I am also discouraged, but the reason I'm calling now is my 6-year-old grandson rarely watches television, but he does watch sports, the Packers and the Brewers, et cetera. And these ads are on all of those sports shows. So he comes into the kitchen and starts asking his mom about the murders and the murderers. And it's just so sad and so really inappropriate to have these ads on shows that kids are watching. And that's my comment.
Mary, thanks a lot for that call. My kids are a little older now, Katie. I hadn't really thought about that angle.
I am so with Mary on this, that, you know, we tend to think about the effects of, you know, violent video games or violent movies or television shows on children. But what is the effect of advertising is also an important question to ask. And I wish I had a solution for you, Mary. But I would say, you know, again, ethics isn't just for journalists anymore. So people who are creating and paying to run these ads have public responsibility too, and we should do our best to try to hold them accountable. Someone who is trying to play to my fears is not going to get my vote.
Mary, thanks for that call. Jeff joins us now in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I remember a few minutes ago you asked about social media platforms, and I deactivated my Twitter account because it's not so innocent. Not only are there fake accounts, but some of the stuff they are saying is simply not true. So I don't even go to Twitter anymore. I deleted my account. But I do go to Instagram, and I do go on YouTube videos. And what I found that helps me is I go to certain influencers, and if I trust them, then over the long term, I get a feel for their values and ethics. And sometimes, you know, if they make an endorsement or a comment, I might agree with them. But then I'm actually walking with somebody instead of just blindly going through a forest wondering what's going on.
Jeff, thanks a lot. Katie, that's interesting. Jeff's working to curate the news and information he's getting online.
That's fantastic, Jeff. I mean, congratulations on media literacy. You know, as long as you're being careful about the influencers you follow, you know, you're not just picking out a Kardashian or a Jenner and following them, I think that's a really good way to go about it. I would say stay alert, stay mindful to the algorithms and what gets delivered to you. YouTube has gotten a lot more intentional about trying to scrub mis and disinformation and untrue things from its platform, but it's still loaded with it. And algorithms can deliver to you things that subvert your own attempts to be literate in this information environment.
Jeff, thanks a lot for calling in. Katie, with the social media feeds we get, I talked to someone about YouTube a while back. These algorithms are pretty opaque, and we might start off with something in our comfort zone, and it might steer us down the proverbial rabbit hole. How can we protect ourselves from kind of walking into more and more weird and fringe stuff?
One positive step is to go only through the searches that you choose and stay away from the suggestions. So on that right rail, it's okay, try to watch this next. That's where some really noxious stuff can come up. I remember one time before the 2016 election, I was looking for something covering a candidate debate for the Republican primary. And I got fed a video that Michelle Obama was born a man. And I was astonished, and I reported it to YouTube. But you find that a lot of the problematic content comes not from your own searching, but from the algorithm recommending content to you.
Can you leave us with some media literacy advice that you might share with your own students, say, as we approach Election Day?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I am a big fan of see for yourself and ask the question, is there any other way to look at this? I would also say, just be aware of what fear does to us. So, you know, when as humans, fear is actually a good thing. It can protect us from, you know, getting eaten by a lion. But we tend, when information ignites that fear, we tend to prioritize that information. We notice it first. We can remember it longer. And it can be more influential in our decision making. So I guess what I would say is acknowledge the fear, or, you know, in the case of Martha, acknowledge the anger, and then recognize what it, the potential that it has, the power it may have over you, and work to counteract that. Take steps to get information to base your vote on intentionally rather than reacting to that fear. And then finally, if people are trying to stoke that fear in you, hold them accountable.
Katie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Kathleen Barton-Culver is the James E. Burgess Chair in Journalism Ethics, Associate Professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism, and Director of the Center for Journalism Ethics, with us today to talk about crime as a midterm election issue and the roles that fear and race play in the conversations about crime and politics. By the way, in addition to that Senate debate on Thursday, we've got a debate for governor. I believe this is the only one coming up on Friday evening.